We're talking this morning with Annette Samanchin-Jones, Assistant Professor of Social Work at the University of Buffalo. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jay.
If you could maybe just outline the reality of children who are living in foster care, some of the things that they're dealing with.
Sure. So right now, there's about 400,000 children living in foster care in the United States. And one of the significant issues that people have been paying attention to is really looking at placement stability for these kids while they're in foster care. And it's hard to get exact numbers, so the rates vary, but the majority of foster youth seem to experience at least one placement disruption, so where they're moving from placement to placement while in care. Some studies indicate that as many as 90% of youth in foster care experience a placement move. And why this is significant is that there is a good body of research that suggests that placement instability itself can be traumatic for kids in foster care. So this might lead to both short-term and long-term negative outcomes for kids, whether that be educational outcomes if they're moving from school to school, social behavioral outcomes as they're trying to adjust and develop healthy attachments to different adults. And so that's one of the significant issues that are facing children in foster care today. And so, so this study was really intended to help. One piece of that is to help better understand what foster parents can do to help kids adjust to placement when they come into their foster home.
What typically goes wrong in these relationships that does lead to these amount of disruptions that these children have to go through?
Right. Well, many youth that are in foster care have experienced trauma, loss, and so they might be actively working through issues of grief, ambivalence, disappointment, trauma, and so many of these things might even fuel acting out behavior. So one of the biggest reasons that we see where foster children might need to move to a new placement is because of difficult behaviors that foster parents just are not able to meet. So that really is one of the key things, is that we might see kids with these acting out behaviors, but really because of these past experiences that they've had, these experiences of grief, loss, and trauma.
What can these foster parents do? What can they do to perhaps alleviate some of that tension that might typically come with a child who's in foster care?
Sure. So this study that just came out was part of a two-part study that was led by my co-author, Dr. Melissa Affronti. And so I collaborated with her and Barbara Rittner, who is another co-author and my colleague at the University of Buffalo School of Social Work. And this study that just came out really went directly to foster parents to ask them, what are some experienced foster parents, and ask them, what are some specific activities, strategies that they see as successful in helping kids adapt and settle into a new placement. And so some of the key findings from this study really indicate that, you know, just taking some very initial steps as soon as a child comes in to help them settle in, making them feel comfortable, could be very minor things, even integrating some personal belongings, letting a child use a favorite quilt, finding out what food they like. But another piece of that is really paying attention to the language you're using when you're talking about children, foster children who are in your home. And so this was really one of the key findings, that foster parents really talked about trying to help kids feel a sense of belonging. You know, foster care is meant to be temporary. Ideally, children can return back home to their biological families. But regardless of the long-term plan, really helping kids feel a sense of belonging by using language like, this is your home, this is your room. And also, another thing that they really highlighted is recognize the importance of the foster parent's own family also accepting kids as a member of the whole family, and making sure that their own family members understand that and respect that the foster children are there as part of the family.
What about these children who do suffer through these multiple disruptions? What happens with them?
That's an excellent question. And so this study really looked at, you know, we were talking with foster parents who had experience maybe with a child who just came into foster care, but many of these foster parents also were working with kids who this may have been their third or fourth placement. And so one of the key messages in that case is that foster parents, and they, you know, foster parents do receive training before they have a child placed in their home. But really, foster parents need to be able to commit, so fully commit and understand that they may be working with kids and have kids in their home who will be demonstrating difficult behaviors. And so foster parents really talked about this as the need to commit to kids, to really hang in there, and to understand where the kids are coming from. So knowing that they're not acting out to make the foster home difficult, but that they are really trying to work through their own issues of past trauma and grief. And so one of the key pieces, which sounds simple, but it's really going into this as a foster parent, knowing that you really, you know, really wanting to be prepared and to be committed to that child no matter what.
We look at this system, the system of foster care, and you can only feel for these children who, you know, for whatever reason, find themselves in the foster care system. But you obviously study it. You've looked at it. Do you see it as a hopeful scenario that it's one that, I mean, obviously many people have come through it and done well, but I'm just curious, do you see it as something that will continue to evolve and continue to be a better part of making for a better society?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very hopeful. I think that there is a lot of exciting things happening in the field of child welfare that's really offering more supports to foster parents. Helping foster parents really feel trained and prepared to take foster kids in, where they can work with not just the foster child, but also be a partner with birth families. Many of these kids, as I mentioned, will go back with their birth families. So having that positive partnership with foster parents and birth families is really important. And kids often have multiple loyalties as they're in foster care. So when they see the adults around them working together and partnering, that can be really positive. There's also a lot of exciting innovations around ways to keep ongoing support for foster parents. So as I mentioned, most foster parents will go through pretty extensive training before they have a child in their care. But agencies are finding innovative ways to connect foster parents with other foster parents so they can get the support they need to feel prepared in a really ongoing way. And I think all of these things can really help reduce the need to move children from home to home. And I think overall, we're paying a lot more attention to stability as well as overall child well-being. So we're really starting to see how kids are doing in foster care and really paying attention to promoting their overall well-being. And so I think all of these things are coming together in a positive way.
Annette Samanchin-Jones is an assistant professor of social work at the University of Buffalo. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Jay. I appreciate it.